Thank you, Lord. Well, I believe we're going to start a new series today. We'll see. I don't think this will be a one-off, but you know, it could be, but I don't think so. We're getting into some things here. I got some things in my heart. So let's go ahead and turn over to James 4. James 4 through 6, it's on your sheet as well. Why don't you go find James 4, and then also just find 1 Peter 5, because it's just a few pages over. 1 Peter's the next book. So 1 Peter 5, James 4. Aren't you glad you know God? Through Jesus. The Bible says no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that. There is no other way to come to God but through Jesus. Men have tried to invent their own ways for centuries, but there is no other way. You know, there are laws that govern localities, you know, towns and states, the country, and the rules, regulation, laws. For instance, there's a way to file your taxes. There's a lot of stuff that goes with that, right? A lot of us will use accountants, you know, or maybe you do it on your own. But, you know, you can't make up your own way to file your taxes. You could, but it's not going to fly, right? Well, you know what? I don't like this form. This is stupid. I don't like this number on the form. I'm going to scratch it out, and I'm going to do it my own way, and I'll, you know, and then this one, I'll, you know, cross that word out. And what if you did that and then sent it in to the government? What response are you going to get? Oh, well, this is fine. This is, all right. Hey, that's a good idea. Well, maybe we'll incorporate, but this, hey. We'll process that, and we'll put it in the queue for next year. Maybe we'll do it your way next year. Is that what's going to happen? What if you decide, you know what, I don't like taxes. I'm not going to pay them this year. And I'm going to send them a nice note saying, I decided not to pay my taxes. I hope you understand. I just, you know, would that work? Well, you know, God, there is only one way to God. God created man, and the fact is, man rebelled against God. This isn't some cosmic game that God set up, and it's like, well, these are the rules, and, you know, I'm going to set it up this way and see how well you can do and jump through hoops. No, God created man with a free will, and then man rebelled. Adam rebelled, yielded to Satan, and brought himself under judgment. He followed Satan. Satan has his end already determined. Hell in the lake of fire is made for the devil and his angels, but anybody that follows him is going to end up in the same place. Except those that follow the Lord Jesus and accept the redemption that he purchased. He came in as a man. He's 100% God, 100% man, came to earth and walked it perfectly, did not yield to Satan, and redeemed mankind so that those that believe on him could have everlasting life and be born again, as the word is said, the word of God says, that we could believe on him and be born again and come into life and become children of God. This isn't really digressing from where we're going, but can you put up, we'll come back to James. Can you put up John chapter 1? You guys are believing with us this morning, right? We're just, there's no use in saying, well, this isn't my message, because, you know, we're gonna stick with this right now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go ahead. I don't want to make you, we'll just keep it up there. I don't want to make you hold three places in your Word. You can handle it, huh? Well, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now go down to, we'll just read through. There was a man sent from John, sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Talking about Jesus. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. The one through whom the world was made was in the world, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or that word is authority, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Notice it doesn't say everybody is a child of God. What does it say? This is the word, right? But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, the right, to become children, to become children of God. That means, were they children before? Not of God. That's right, not of God. Jesus, in another place, talking to the Pharisees, says, you are of your father, the devil. See, not everybody, when we're born into this world, and we grow up spiritually, and I don't want to get into this sidetrack, but like we've mentioned before, there's a place where you reach, you know, as a child, there's some place where people reach an age where you're accountable to God. You reject God consciously. A baby knows nothing. A baby, his spirit is pure and is innocent before God. But there reaches an age where people rebel. And when they do, their spirit is dead. And we need to be born again, alive unto God. This says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He gave them the right to become become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Next verse. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is all talking about Jesus. Jesus came to the earth, walked as a man, 100% God, 100% man, 100% God, 100% man, walked in this earth. And verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way. So people have made up their own way to God. And that's what religion is. Religion is man-made. Well, it's just like what we were saying then with the taxes. Well, I want to do it this way. You ever wonder why there are so many religions on the earth? It's because men have been around for a bit and they've made up stuff. There is a truth, though. God created the world. God created Adam. Adam rebelled. But God has been in contact with men all the time. But people made up their own ways. Well, we're going to serve such and such. Created things with their own hands and said, this is a God. I'm going to worship it. Created rules and regulations that God did not give. And Jesus came to redeem mankind so we could believe on him, just like this said, it's to those who receive him, to those he gave the authority or the right to become children of God. And there is one way, through Jesus. There is no other way. It's not that we can say, well, I don't like that. I want, you know, there's so much that people say, and it's not new. And people say, well, God loves everybody. And if he loves everybody so much, how could he send somebody to hell? I just believe, you know, people say this, I just believe that God will receive everybody. That God, nobody will ever go to hell because, you know, forever is a long time. Those are all contradicting what the Word says. So is the Word of God or not? See, those are people's ideas. They're not the Word of God. The Word said there is only one way, and it is to come through Jesus. To come through him. And so we can't make up our own way. And it's not, there's no way to be redeemed except through him. Anything else, we're still under Satan's dominion. Anyway, we're not really going to teach on that today. That's not my prepared subject is, but aren't you glad that we know God? If you know him, that you found out about the Lord Jesus and that you're a child of him, that we know him, that we can worship him, that we can walk in his light and his truth. Go back over to James 4 if you have it, or you can take a moment and turn there. God is so faithful. He's so good. His ways are right. James 4, verse 6. Then we'll go to 1 Peter. James 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Look at verse 6. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Go ahead and look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. So you see that same phrase. The second part of verse 5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Look at on your sheet at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 2. It says, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself. Matthew 23:11. Look at that on your sheet. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the first couple verses we read in James and in 1 Peter, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Can you put James 4:6 just up on the screen so we can see it? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Just looking at those two phrases, which category do we want to be in? Do we want God resisting us, or do we want to get grace?
We want grace.
Yeah, anybody can see that, right? You say, which side do you want to be on? Number one, God resisting you. Or number two, God giving you grace, giving you help. Which one do we want to be in? Well, anybody with any sense says, I'll take the grace. I got enough stuff going on in my life. I don't need God resisting me. Now, this is in the new covenant, right? Can you be in a place where God is resisting you? Yes, you could. Of course you can. That's what this says. But we don't have to, right? It's only if we're in that one category. I don't know about you. I mean, we don't have to think about it very long. We don't need to be in that category. And we definitely want to be in another category that he gives grace to, right? So, question is, you know, what we want to know about these two things. Being proud, if you're proud, you have pride. If we're humble, we have humility. And I want to touch on those two areas. But let's just, you know, today we're just going to kind of fly over some things and in way of introduction. So let's just read some more scriptures there on your sheet. Let's go back to Matthew and look at those quick before we go on. Matthew 23, we'll look at that we just left off. Matthew 23:11 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, you can see clearly there's comparison here. We don't want to be the person that's exalting ourselves. We want to be the person that's humbling ourselves to be exalted. Jesus said this. Okay, so let's go through a few of these scriptures. Proverbs 11:2. On your sheet, and I'll put it up on the screen too. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with humble is wisdom. Well, okay, we're just going to look at some of these, and again, you just see the two areas. When pride comes, then comes shame. Who in here says, I need more shame in my life? I don't have enough, I need more. Well, you have a way to get it. But more than likely, nobody's going to raise their hand and say that. But with the humble is wisdom. Now, who says I could use more wisdom? All of us need more wisdom. The wisdom of God? Well, here's a way. With the humble is wisdom. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 18. On your sheet there. It says, pride goes before destruction. All right? Let's ask ourselves the same question. Do we want destruction in our life?
No.
Nope. Well, pride will lead to it. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud. Proverbs 18, 12. Look at that on your sheet. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty or proud. And before honor is humility. Again, look at the two areas. Destruction, again, associated with pride. Before honor is humility, being humble. Again, it's not hard to decide which area, which bucket you want to be in, right? Anybody, if you just laid out, do you want to be honored or do you want to be destroyed? Everybody's going to say, well, I want to be honored. I don't want to be destroyed. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about a way to be destroyed. And it has a lot to say about honor. And other good things that come from humility. Proverbs 3:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Strife. Contention, division, arguing. Well, we see one way to get that. In our homes, pride. And we know this. Pride is the cause of so many arguments, little and big. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Psalm 18, 27. Again, we're just flying over this, just laying a bit of a foundation, introduction. Psalm 18, 27 says, for you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Well, that would go right with what the first scripture we read, right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Psalm 138, 6. It says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Amazing. God Almighty. Yet he'll know people that humble themselves. The proud he knows from afar. What does that mean? From a distance, God knows. Of course, it's not like he doesn't know people, but do you want to know God close or far? Now, thank God, we know. Through Jesus, we have a relationship with God. He is for us. He is with us. But when we look at these things, we don't want to get and yield to things that would ever push us away. He is not the one pushing. So when we're looking at these, don't start getting in your head, well, gosh, this is separating me from God. This is telling me that, you know, I'm going to be that somehow God doesn't love me. No, he loves us. We don't want to yield to things that would separate us from him. And this is, you can see just from the scriptures we've already read, there are things that are bait to get us to move away from him. And what we're touching on right now is a huge, huge, huge issue in the world that keeps people from God. And it is devilish. Satan himself was so full of pride that he thought he could take out the Almighty. And he guessed he thought it would work. And he is the father of this. And it leads over and over to destruction. Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 6:16-19. Now again, I say these things because Satan tries to drive a wedge immediately when the word comes. Get offense to come. Okay? So when we're reading this, do not start pushing away from God and say somehow God does not love me. This is like, you know, God is, there's this high bar that I have to jump through or jump over in order to get to him. We're not, these scriptures are not saying that. This is warning us and telling us these things are of the enemy. Watch them and stay away. And if we see them in our life, what do? We cut it out. We push it away. As we see it, we want to make sure, wait a minute. And these could be answers. When we start seeing this and we get into this, I believe you see certain things and wait a minute. That's pride. And then it could say, we could see, well, that's why there's destruction in this area. See, the enemy is wicked and a liar. He will try to blame it on God and see God doesn't love you. And in the whole time, he is instigating us to walk in his way. And if he can get us to do that, then these things come. And then he says, it was God. See, God doesn't love you. And he's the one that's pushing and trying to get us these things in our life. That's why we have to be on guard. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. But we need to understand how God looks at certain things. We don't want to knowingly be like, well, God, I know you don't like this. This is not what you would have for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. That right there is setting ourselves up for destruction. We give Satan access into our life. Why? We're yielding to him. And we'll get into some of these things. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look is number one. A proud look at the company that it's in. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. A proud look. So we see a number of things here, just even, and these aren't all the scriptures there are, but just touching these. You see, a three-year-old could look at this and deduce, pride is bad. Right? And they may not understand all the language here, but if you put two categories and put all the stuff that will happen that follows pride, and then all the stuff that would follow being humble, a three-year-old could deduce, this one's good, this one's bad, right? You don't need to study it. We don't need to go over it over and over. A three-year-old could say, yeah, I don't want any of that. But the enemy's crafty. If it was like that in everything and so black and white, you know, people would run from it. But it's subtle and it's pervasive in this world. Pride is pervasive. Step one, like we started out saying, people reject Jesus and reject the way and say, you don't need God. They will mock the Son of God. They will mock His Word and say, these are just accounts. These are not accounts. They're just made up stories and fables, and put the Word of God into the same category as man-made religion and say, I don't need that. That is pride. And will lead to destruction, ultimately. But it is so past that. People want to say, I can do it my own way. I'll do what I want to do. And reject what He said. And it's subtle. And it's everywhere. And so, to walk like that, it's all you have to do is do what the majority of people around are doing. And so to start but we agree, we don't want to walk down that path. We don't want to walk in those ways because they're destruction. We want what comes from following Him. We want the grace. We want the help. We want the good that would come from following the Lord and being humble and doing what He said. Proverbs 22:4, look at this. Now this is what we want. By humility and the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean you're running away from God like you're scared. That means honor, reverence. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, you just put that second part of that verse there, riches, honor, and life, and put that in front of anybody, they're going to say, yeah, I want some of that. That's what I want, right? Any one of those. Riches, the world is going nuts, killing themselves, literally, trying to get more money. Honor, another thing, people kill themselves over it. They're throwing their life away all the time, trying to get what they think is honor. People to look at them. Life. Fullness of life. Long life. And this verse says, by humility and the fear of the Lord, the reverence and the honor of God, these things come. You know, again, you don't have to study this a long time to realize that's what I want. Do I want to be destroyed? Or do I want riches and honor in life? Well, of course I want the latter. This humbling ourselves before God and being walking in humility, that's where it leads. Look at Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We are dealing our God, the Almighty. He is the Creator. He is above all beings. There is no one like Him. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything good comes down from the Father of lights. Yet He looks on mankind, and He sent His Son to die for us, His death, burial, and resurrection, that we could believe on Him and come into the family of God. And He looks on the people that, you know, maybe society wouldn't look at or would turn their backs on. God gave His Son for them. God gave his son, reached down, and regardless of what they look like in the natural, he regards them. It will humble, a person would humble themselves, reverence the Almighty, do, number one, what he said. I mean, receive. You think about it. Just to come to God is an act of humility through Jesus. That's acknowledging I am insufficient in myself. I need a Savior. And that right there, that's tough on pride. Well, I don't need the crutch of religion. You know, people will say, and we've heard it called that. It's a crutch or for weak-minded people that don't understand, they haven't been educated enough. That's exalting above what God said. That is actually putting our ideas above truth, what he said. And so to come and say, God, you are real. I believe you sent Jesus. I need a Savior. I have sinned. Just for people in this day and age to say, I did something wrong. I was wrong. Sin, to have to say, I mean, we don't dwell on it. We're hitting one side of something right now. You can't balance everything every minute, otherwise every sermon's going to be really, really, really long. Okay? Yes, God loves us. Yes, he's for us. Yes, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We know that. But in this day and age, and we have other messages online for that, but in this day and age, to look at the state of the world, it is haughty. Don't tell me what to do. Do people want to be told what to do? Children do not want to be told what to do. Because their parents have instilled, there's been rebellion in the world. And so kids have grown up, they have kids. Well, like breeds like. And because we've gone and started looking away from God and not looked at his word, now you have people, their way is right in the world. Everybody's an individual. Everybody's way is right. Doesn't matter if it goes against the word of God. It's all fine. That is pride. And it is leading to destruction. But to come to Jesus and come to God, we're talking about the first step. Just to come and say, I'm wrong. Wow, just for somebody to say, I'm wrong. What I did was wrong. Well, you know what we talk about in this day? Well, in that circumstance, don't know. You know, and start wiggling. And we're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about the society as a whole has it. It has a lot of this in it. And so to come to God and say, I need you. Wow, to even say that right there, that's looked at as weak in the world. Is it not? Am I making that up? No, you need something else. What? You're not strong enough minded? You're not educated enough? You can't just do it yourself? If we believe the Bible, we need him, and you absolutely have to have a Savior. And the one thing the enemy wants us to believe is you don't. In fact, he doesn't want you to believe there is a devil. Right? That's the best thing. There is no devil, there is no heaven, there is no hell, because that means there's no way I'm going to hell that doesn't exist. And God, there is no God. And Jesus, he's just, you know, he might have lived, but he's not anybody. He's just a man. And so for somebody to come to God, they have to put down pride and say, now think about if they've said that their whole life, say, I was wrong. Just insert this here. That's why pride right there is one of the reasons why it is sometimes very difficult for family to receive the Word of God from you, your family. Because pride is an obstacle. Because for them to receive it from you, they have to admit you're right. And that's not easy. They would, people in general would much rather hear it from a stranger. But to hear it from you, who I've known, and I know where you live, and I've been around you, and I know, you know, where none of us are perfect, and now you're telling me, and I've been rejecting it, and now I'm going to say, you were right? That's just another obstacle, and this is, you know, people, they put up a wall. I'm not going to do it just because I'm not doing it with you, right? I don't want to hear it from you. Maybe this other person who I have no clue about, I've never heard anything about, I don't live with them, never seen anything, but I it's easier to receive it from them than you, because I know you, right? It's, pride is so ugly, and anything we see in ourselves, it's just, ugh. I mean, it doesn't have anything good in it. But for us then, we have to acknowledge, any individual has to come to God and say, I have sinned. I need a Savior. And I believe on the Son of God. Believe in my heart, confess with my mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that He is Lord. Right there. To do that, that's an act of humility. That's an act of saying, you're right. I acknowledge you. That is bowing the knee before Him. When you do this, it is acknowledging that you're right, I'm wrong. You are above me. That leads to life. And just like that's how people come to God initially, that's how it is every day in our life. The more when God deals with us, and thank God He doesn't deal with you on everything wrong in your life every day. Thank God He doesn't just limp it all onto us now. Because none of us, I mean, we all realize nobody in here is perfect. And 5 years from now, we're going to see stuff that we're doing right now. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking, if we're in explicit sin, we know it's wrong and we can see it, then we need to get out of it. And we need to depend on His grace and acknowledge it and say it's wrong. God, you show me what to do. And any excuses are pride. They're just, I can't. If we say I can't, but He says I can, then one of us is wrong. But there are things in our life we're going to grow and we're going to learn and we're going to see stuff and we're going to come to see certain things a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, and we're going to go, I was doing that and I didn't even know it. I didn't even see it. So thank God He doesn't just dump the load on you and just say, well, that'll keep you busy for a while and go back. Thank God He deals with us. He'll show it. Something will put, you'll see it. And He knows what we see and He knows what we don't see. So there's no use playing games with Him. But He knows what we see. And when we see something and it comes up, now we have a choice. Are we going to say, it's fine, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about when God is dealing with something specific with you. And again, He won't throw everything at you. You can get in the other ditch where you think everything, you can't do anything right, and it's all Him, and you're constantly being, that Satan will use that and condemn you. We're not talking about that. If he can beat you up left and right, and actually you're doing very well, but if you yield to condemnation all the time, you'll be completely, that's what, you'll lead to depression, you'll be no fun to be around. But when we see something that God is prompting us, we have a choice. We can say, nope, it's fine. Doesn't matter. And we can try to push it away. Or we can say, Lord, I see that. Show me, I don't know, but show me how to change that. And that's an act of bowing our knee and saying, Lord, you're Lord. Show me. Lord, that's right. That's wrong. I see it. Now, show me how to change that. You show me. And I'll walk, and I believe in your strength and your grace. That attitude leads to life. And we can live there. Not that we're perfect, but our heart is humble toward him. Our heart has an attitude that, Lord, what you said, I'll do. And if I see something, Lord, I'm gonna change. And I know I haven't arrived, but my heart is, I'm going to be after you. If I see something, Lord, I'll correct it. Again, we're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about legalism. It's a heart attitude, because then, even in the midst, we're not doing everything perfectly, but our heart toward him is right. That's a lot different than, I don't have to change, I don't have to do anything. God who? That attitude actually leads to destruction, it leads to bad things, and it separates us. If God's telling us and prompting us to do something, we say no, we're separating ourselves from him. It becomes difficult. Let's close with this. Andrew, can I have your sheet? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Where did my sheet go? Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, everything we're looking at is, are we modeling after him? He is our example. And if the God that created the world came and humbled himself to become like a man for you and me, this is exactly the attitude that we are to have when we're walking out our time here on the earth. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. This is the path we want to be on. Be like him. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And then God exalted his name. Praise God. God has good things. We want to identify anything that looks like that first bucket. That looks like pride. We want to say, nope, I'm not going down that path. I know where that road leads. On the other hand, I know the other road. I know humility. Humbling ourselves, saying, God, what you said is right. What it's true, it is true. What your plan for me, your ways for me, what you've asked me to do, it's right and it's true. That's where I want to be. Following his example. Amen.